session dedicated to sustainability. This session is brought to you by JEC, the association that promotes composites worldwide and that organizes the famous global event JEC World. See you in March in Paris at JEC World. If you want to visit us on our booth, there is the stand number today. So to fuel the debates, we are really glad to rely on a really prestigious panel. So Maria Palumbo Cardella from EBI, hello, thank you for being here. Raphaël Plenet from ESIA, our partner. Guillaume Perben from Composite Recycling.
Thank you.
Fabio Bignolini from NLComp. And Norbert Sadlasek, a legend, but also the boss of Innovation Youth. Maybe if you want to introduce yourself in a few words, even if I guess that our audience perfectly knows you, but in a few words, please introduce yourself and your organization. Maybe Marina, if you want to start.
Hard work of composites teams should be shouted from the rooftops. We're on a mission to give your solutions better visibility and reach, to make them more widely known in the market and gain the appreciation they deserve. To make lightweight construction and specialized technologies available to end users, as well as attract projects, customers, and talent, join our Composites Lounge community. The Composites Lounge community is open to entrepreneurs, C-levels, specialists, and managers who want to create a better world with their innovative composites and play a key role in the success of their company. So if you're a hidden champion who isn't sure how to best promote your work, join a supportive and innovative community which is focused on making composites achievements visible to end users. The Composites Lounge community celebrates and promotes the best innovations, lightweight construction technologies, and sustainable solutions in the automotive, aviation, renewable energy, oil and gas industries, and many more. Get involved at compositeslounge.com.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, thank you very much for having me on this panel with all these really excellent people. I work for the European boating industry, so we represent the European recreational sector, and our members are the national associations of the marine recreational industry across the member states. We cover the entire industry chain, let's say, so from marinas, touring sectors, dealers, shipyards, manufacturers, and we represent 32 companies across 22 member states at the moment.
I'm Fabio from Northern Light Composite. We are a startup from Italy. We are working on a new composite material, basically thermoplastics. We are prototyping sailing boats to prove that thermoplastic is a solution for the future. And thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. Guillaume, recently awarded. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We are very honored that the Builders Award was awarded to Beneteau and our partners. So Guillaume, I'm from Composite Recycling, a Swiss startup that has developed a process to recycle glass and carbon fiber based composites that we can recover. We work with our partners here, and we're very happy to be here in this panel. Thank you.
Raphaël and Norbert, also recently awarded with a very prestigious prize, the Cap Horn Prize, if I, that's it?
Yeah, this
so congratulations also.
That was personal, but regarding the business, I did the Mocha races till 2009, did the one the Globe in 2008, 2009, and then decided with my partner that we want to go really in sustainability and stop the waste of material, what racing is, of course, because you always have to be in the last few percentage. And we started to develop stone fibers, which are fully recyclable, and typical epoxy matrix, which is also fully sustainable and recyclable. And now since 16 years, we got a few awards on the way, also the Ocean Tribute Award in 23 for our prototypes, and we do just product development. That means we develop boats, catamarans, monohulls, but no serial production.
Yes, thank you. We'll come back to this. We have decided to start from the regulation level. So I turn to you, Marina. Could you tell us what are the IBI's current priorities and give us an update of your environment roadmap? I refer to the Navigation Tomorrow program.
Yeah, exactly. That one is our manifesto for this European mandate at the moment. We have different interesting topics on it, and we are trying every day to advocate for those. But most importantly, in terms of circularity, we have another roadmap, which is the roadmap for end-of-life boats. It's an ongoing project, let's say. It started a few years ago. We had a big event organized also with the EU Commission and co-organized with the EU Commission and us. We brought together different industry also to really address the issue of the marine sector. And at the moment, there are some developments because we are joining forces also with Rafael and other industries through which we have a smaller working group. We are trying to open up the possibility of revisiting the roadmap to include also composite materials. This will make a real difference because we are encouraging, let's say, other sectors to join forces with us. So this is very important.
What kind of sectors, for example?
Well, we have together with the boating industry, we also have a Wind Europe, for example, other stakeholders mainly working with composite materials.
And what can you tell us about the Circular Economy Act? Why it is so important to you?
Yeah, actually, Rafael knows probably better than me. We're working together also with this smaller working group, which we call CIRCOMP, which is a weird name, but we're very active. We have a joint position paper on that. It comes from a previous one that was mainly on the Waste Framework Directive, and now it's we're pushing for the Circular Economy Act, which is expected next year in 2026. We're already seeing very good signs and in the consultations that the different associations participated to. We saw that in some of these questions that you need to put some ticks, yes or no, there were also mentioned fiberglass. So it's already a good sign that our industry and composite in general really take into account. So we're pushing mainly for having specific waste codes that will facilitate also the dismantling phase, so the end of life process.
Would you like to add something, Rafael? Because you work together, as Marina mentioned.
First, you were mentioning the Circular Economy Act. This is an initiative from the European Commission. And as you mentioned, there were the survey opening from August to the early November. And when you look at the objective, they would like really to help to develop the secondary raw material market. Because all of us, we are mentioning sustainability, sometimes recycling, or also the different arts. But what do we do at the end, And we need to have a market. And we know today there is barriers, there is difficulties. And when you see that the European Commission is, first of all, listening all of us, all the industries, saying, do you share, what are the different assessments, do you agree or not, because there were different type of questions. Took it very seriously, this survey, because it was an opportunity somewhere to feed the European Commission on what is the today situation and what we expect from the regulatory framework, okay? So that's the first thing. And the second, at OCR, over the years, we were convinced that we had to advance the circularity of composite material. And one way to do it and to accelerate, it's to join all the value chain, all the stakeholders together, not just saying the little composite industry, from the raw material producer to the OEM, but also including recyclers, waste management, the Commission as well. So we launched this initiative back at JEC in partnership with JEC earlier this year. And we are now on what we call the operational phase since the end of August. We have different working groups, and we are really working what to share first call the analysis. What do we want to do? And we have our first General Assembly on December 4th in Brussels, in the presence of the European Commission, with at least two directories, and it shows for them the importance of such initiative to listen and then to develop the future policy regulations. So.
And I know that it is growing fast. How many members do you have right now?
When we launched it, you know, at JEC in March, you know, we got something like 70 companies saying, okay, we are interested. We launched the alliance back in July. It was 100, and today we have more than 170 members. It's free of charge to enter. What we need from the people, it's the energy, the knowledge, the brain, and then all together it's going to work.
And APER is doing a great job. Like they were always invited, since I know, in every discussion and that. From an EBI side, let's say, we totally support it, and EPR is a good system for that. What we want to remember is also that this system can also not be good for other member states. So if we see it in a European perspective, as for other million things, like there are some aspects that can be different to handle depending on the government, on the local authorities, and so on. But for sure, APER is it's still, I think, a benchmark.
Maybe a reaction from the people working on this also. And Norbert, if you want to start, because you have a lot of experience, as you were mentioning. So you have seen a lot of things evolving, changing, sometimes with deception and sometimes with huge progress and successes.
I mean, I think for the industry, we have a different impact. We say we start with the beginning. The beginning of a boat is a design, a construction, a prototype, molds, all this stuff. And our consensus is that we say, okay, we stay with all the materials really 100% recyclable and sustainable. We don't accept the client who says, could we not do a little bit of carbon here? And no, that's the first thing. That means use materials what we recycle and reuse for next constructions indoor. That's the next point, because for recycling the problem is the transport. Big companies need a volume, needs a mass to start with new products. I know that from our partners Rie Composite. So that means we have really no waste, no leftover from composite production. Just of course cleaning paper, stuff like that, yeah, but no material. We do our own mastics, we do our own glues, structural or fillers, whatever it is. And of course, the problem is you end up not with the cheapest product, because it's manpower impact, and the moment that you have manpower impact and less automatism, it costs money. And we all have to earn money when we work for months and have to pay our bills. And finally, what the idea behind is that when big producers, big players on the market, and I also spoke nearly 15 years ago with the Beneteau Group, for example, would start to do a similarly, more or less similarly concept to say, see, what we produce from now on, day zero, is fully recyclable and sustainable. We would not end up, because in the meantime, I'm 16 years in the recycling business. That means in charter, no boat will survive 16 years. We have three generations of charter boats now with the cheap built boats, which are coming back since we started. So that means I think the first step, very important, don't produce new materials, new pleasure crafts, which are absolutely not sustainable. And then think about what you're doing with existing boats, with old boats, what you do really super cool, and find a way to recycle them, bring materials back in the production circle, and that together will help. But somebody has to move, and that's what you do, I think that's what we do, and yeah, keep on going.
We all perfectly know that now they want proof, they want demonstration, and not only words or saying, we are going to try to do this, I don't know perfectly at what time, but we will manage to cope with this challenge.
We are like prototyping a sailing boat. We are from a background of sailing. We are passionate sailors. We start from small dinghies, basically from an optimist. Then we prototype some sport boats, 7 meters, 9 meters. Now we have a offshore boat, it's like 10 meters and a half in production, and that will be ready to sail in 2026. Our goal is basically to push the market to validate these materials. We was lucky to exhibit at Jack with our boat. We was lucky to win an Italian championship with one of our boats. And also we have project with a shipyard in Italy, Cantiere del Paldo, Devoti Sailing in Poland. We try to do our best to demonstrate that these materials are a solution. And of course, about regulation, I need to say that without regulation, the industry is not ready to switch to new materials. So we need regulation, we need activities like this one you was mentioning. We will join also in December. We need to push a lot on this side, because otherwise it will be really difficult to switch to new material. We are working with composite recyclers since many years. We meet, I think, at Jack 3 or 4 years ago. We start to send him some samples to test everything. So we need to push a lot to demonstrate that we are ready to switch to new materials.
Guillaume?
Yeah, I mean, from our perspective, we've developed the process, we know it works, we can reuse the glass fibers, we work with Owens Corning and Schumacher on this, we take the production scraps from Beneteau, Veolia is managing them with us, for the resin, we work with Arkema on their helium resin, we work with Total as well for the resin. So we have avenues of reusing the carbon and the glass that we recover from the composites. We start with production scraps, we're scaling up volumes, and we will move to end of life at some point, but we need to start somewhere. But that's technology, and it's easy to fall in love with your technology and think the problem is fixed. But this is a constant discussion with Nordlight Composites with the end users of the byproducts of the recycling. And in this frame, and that's why we basically get recognized, is because we work together. And because the producers of the waste, the managers of the waste, the reusers of the byproducts, they are around that technology, but this is the circle. And this is why the European Alliance that the UCA is and we're very proud to be part of this, and come to the event on the 4th of December in Brussels, this is key. And this is why it's not just us, you know, thinking about recycling. It's everybody, and we need everybody in those alliances, because the more we have the full value chain in these kind of discussions with the European Commission, the more powerful it is and the more consistent and complete the discussions are. So this is really a full value chain that we bring together.
And how do you work day to day together? I mean, on some projects, because you were
day to day. No, I mean,
you were telling me that it was not an happy encounter. Everything is okay, it perfectly match. It's a lot of dialogue. It's a lot of tests. It's a lot of.
I mean, we cannot develop a technology in our garage with closed windows. We need to talk to the people who will use the recycled products, and we need to talk to the people who actually build the boats. Because if you tell an operator, oh, you need to buy tons of new tools, change your procedures and everything because it's recycled, it's never going to work. But this is a discussion. Yes. We need to constantly talk and exchange.
When we started in 2017 to develop a special type of electro engine, was the first one in Animoca, I crashed one time on the ponton because the display showed unknown error, so I was not able to go in reverse. And even my friends then said, yeah, but why are you using this shit, you know, and go to a diesel engine? But exactly what you say, how will you develop something if you don't try it, do it, use it practically? Of course, there comes error, there breaks something, there are problems, no discussion. But otherwise, you have no chance to end up successfully. Yeah. That's a very important point, I think, what people have to understand in these days, because in our life, everything works just on pushing the little button or wishing the smartphone, but in development, it's different. Try and error sometimes is necessary.
I'm listening here, entrepreneurs. And congratulations for what you are doing, what we are trying, because you push the limit. And what we are, once we prepared with you and Philippe a scheme, we know at OCEA we have been asked what volume we are speaking about the end of life of composite material. Okay, so we developed a model in 2018. I was not part of OCEA at that time, but then we updated last year. Just to tell you, in the year 2025, we generate and we are able to identify 228 kilotons of composite materials. I can develop how we calculated it, but that's 228. So we know where are the volumes. Sometimes it's not so easy to locate, especially in the boat industry, because the boat is produced in Europe, can go somewhere else and so on. So, but okay, the model says something. We, and thanks to all of you, there is technologies working now, but how to move the waste to the recyclers and then to make a market? That's really the central where we have to do and to work together. And we will not solve it in our each of us in our garage. I agree with you. We need to be all together. That's where. So again, thank you for what we are doing, because that's really the essence. Yes, it's possible to recycle a boat. A wind blade. It's thanks to all the work that's been done on these recycling technologies. Okay. So, but then it's the story how to move it from left to the right.
Thank you. It's impossible to exhaust the subject in 30 minutes, huh? And I see that the time is already running. So maybe if you have questions.
How do we connect you with stories within the composites and sustainable materials industry? We are on the ground to find the facts. We examine big, innovative ideas. We let diverse perspectives on technology and sustainability emerge and ignite conversations that matter most to bring you the composites and sustainable materials world. Stay informed, stay connected, stay inspired. From our online studios in Germany, covering events and corporates from France, Italy, UK, Central Europe, and many more European regions. Join us for creating sustainable value.
with Composites 360 on tour, Composites Lounge engineering talks, and Composites Lounge end user panels hosted by Ilkay Özgüzoğlu. Weekly on LinkedIn, YouTube, and your preferred podcasts.
My name is Flores. I represent the company RST5. We have a replacement of solvents in the production. So, and I bought this company 2 years ago because I'm passionate about recycling and having a better, cleaner world. But what I'm experiencing is a lot is resistance for the workforce. When they are cleaning their tools now with solvents like acetone, we have a biosustainable product to replace it. But there's a lot of resistance because they're not used to working with that. And you just mentioned regulation, and I agree, but do you also work on motivating the people to transition to a cleaner process? Thank you.
Thank you. Who wants to answer?
I mean, what I have experienced is the same as you. The guys come, they work 1 week and they went away because they say this material is shit, yeah, it's too hard and I can't handle that and it doesn't clean. But then you have to change your team. That's it. I mean, either you stuck to proper materials or you stuck to a guy who says, no, I've here now polyester since 20 years that goes so easy and your epoxy is, I need... Okay, then you change the guy and you don't change the material. Because otherwise, of course, it's the one and only way, believe me. Because, or for example, to cut stone fibers, you cannot use the same tools as for glass fiber, for example. Okay, it is much more harder. You have to sharpen it in half the time. You have to use proper drills, you know, from cobalt and so on. But that is something what you have to dictate to your team and then teach them how to use that and go for it. That means there is a vision. And you have to follow your vision. It's like a race. There is a starting line and a finish line. And that's it.
You also mentioned like how you push actually people, clients, consumers to approach this new transition, let's say. And I mean, from what I can see on a European level, I mean, it's quite even a political issue, let's say. So from sustainability, we pass through competitiveness. So there is also this switch, but the content, let's say, that we were pushing also in the years before, it's always there. We in EBI, we have this industry-funded project. So really like it's the shipyards that are paying for it to develop an LCA tool. So from the, not just considering the use phase, but from the production to the end of life, and this is really a good sign that the marine industry is really moving forward. And then on a more local level, we also work with the EU funded projects, and also Norbert and I are working together on that with other people in the consortium, which is called Techonaut. And it's basically it tries to push people joining the blue economy sector and to also encourage them to use the sustainable materials. There are some training courses specifically on how to use this new composite how to really use them in shipyards. And actually next week, I think, there is a training seminar on that at the Norbert's shipyard in France. So what I can say is that there are a lot of steps that we're doing for that.
I will give you a final word to each of us. Maybe if you can also underline the positive change that we can expect in the years to come, because we all know the problems, but we also have prospects that are quite positive sometimes. So maybe, Raphael, if you want to start.
Well, just to conclude, and also on what has been said to your question, I think we are in a paradigm change. So it will take some time. And to the person who is reluctant to use a new process, I think I like this initiative to educate, to repeat, to educate, to demonstrate the value, why we are doing that, you know, what is the main focus. And it will take time, but that's why we need to have the energy of everyone to repeat and repeat again. And I'm sure this person will change his mind, his perception.
That's absolutely right, because remember, we needed one or two generations to end up where we are in a consumer society, which just gets cheap stuff to throw it away half a year later. And it will need another one or two generations to go back to quality products, and then your car is again your car, and another car for 24 months, and then you get the next one, you know. And I think recyclability, sustainability is very close to respect materials, produce quality, keep it, use it for a longer time, and get put some personality in stuff what we do, and see it as ours and not as something what you just consume as long as it's new and then you throw it away. I think that's one of the keys.
I really like Norbert's approach. It's really strong in pushing on new materials, and I think we need to people like this, and we need to work together to push the industry. That is the main topic, and I think we need more initiative to work together and push on new materials.
I would like to give my speak time to Raphael. We need to get together. Everybody at Mestrade should join the alliance. Maybe you could remind us how to join the alliance.
Oh, you go on the ECIA website, ECIA is EUCIA.eu, and then you have all the explanation how to join the alliance. You have to sign the declaration first, and because in signing the declaration you share the vision. Yes, I'm ready to commit, and then the rest is easy, and see you in Brussels in that case.
Yes. EBI is a member of the alliance.
Absolutely, and EBI is a member and is also sharing one of the working groups, so that's
and they're great groups.
Good. Yeah.
I'd like to thank ECIA, our partner, because we work together in order to have such a huge panel. And I'd like also to thank Mestrade organizers, because it was quite easy to and smooth, so thank you very much. And see you in Jack World, of course. So see you in Paris. Bye-bye.
Thank you.